Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, the podcast by filmmakers for filmmakers. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, Jeff, as always. Jeff and I are writers and directors and passionate about the art of storytelling. Filmmaker Mixer is a creative hub where aspiring and established filmmakers come together to share experiences, insights, strategies, and inspiration.
And today we are chatting with Lin Ji Wang about her new film, Chasing Jupiter. Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, and we are continuing our conversations with all of the amazing talent here at the Austin Film Festival. And today we are chatting with Lin Ji Wang about her film Chasing Jupiter. So, Lin Ji, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for inviting me for the show.
We're happy to have you. I really liked your film. It's so clever, so charming. I don't want to give anything away, but you had a really good emotional pull to the film. I'm curious, how did you come up with this idea? I mean, how did this idea for the film come to you?
It's personal. I used to have a cat who died on me right before I arrived home. So I made a personal choice of coming home next day because the air ticket is cheaper. And that actually is my personal reason for this film is I don't want to miss any moment in the close one I have. Even though there might be other work reason, maybe there's something cheaper that I can just come home a little bit late. No, don't do that. Yes.
Yeah, and I have a question about like the look of the film. While it has amazing production value and production style, it has this homemade quality or feel to it to make it feel maybe more intimate with the audience. I'm curious how intentional that was, or if that was something you set out from the very beginning.
It's a very interesting question, actually, because so we are student crew and student production. So the home style is what we have to do, in a sense, that to save the budget. But we love it because we actually had so much fun in the thrift shop. And that's we think that's really fun as a part of a story, because it's supposed to be a heartwarming story, and there's no reason we make it really looking so dark or so moody. So that's I would say we figure things out as we move into the project, and that's what we figured out.
And you said this was a film school project. So
yeah.
Are you currently in film school? And if so, I'm curious which school and why you chose that one for to start your career.
So I'm currently in USC Film School, and this is my year one project. So now I'm in my second year, about to do a thesis. And the reason I chose film school is I was an engineer, computer engineer, and I have no way to know how to make films. So intuitively, I would choose to get an education, and USC is the best place to get it.
And so... So you were in the engineering program.
Yeah.
So did you have interest in film as a kid, or did you make little movies with your friends or anything, or did you just suddenly switch?
I just sent a switch. I think my mom.
Mom, I'm going to be a film director today. That engineering degree is gone.
My mom is the one who actually took me all the time to cinemas. She was the one who took me to Titanic. That was a pretty big deal for me because it was literally my first film. In theater experience, and she just keep telling me oh, this is a good film, that's a good film. I was like, Mom, I want to do film. She said, oh, because she didn't expect that.
That just came out of the blue.
Yes.
Oh, funny.
Yes.
Yeah, and getting back to the production of your film, I'm curious, how did you cast your lead and how did you cast your dog for the film?
Oh, let me talk about my cute little dog a little
bit.
Yes. So her name is Zoe. And actually, she never acts in front of the screen.
I was going to ask you about that because I was on the fence. Is this a trained dog, or do you just have a great relationship with this dog?
So she is a trained dog, but only for a commercial shoot. So she knows how to pose for photo shoots, but she doesn't know how to move in a movie per se. So that's why you see the action in the film. It's not very long shot because of that. But she's so cute because... The reason she acts so well in my film is we love her on set and everybody pets her before we start the production. And she just loves it. And that shows in the film, her performance shows that she loves the set. She loves the vibe. That's why she gives out all the emotional like beats. And it's so great about having an animal on set is, you know, they are in the moment of everything you do. And that's so different experience, I would say.
So you actually went to an animal trainer and, yeah. And what about your lead actor? How did you find her?
Breakdown services, but I grew a personal attachment with her. So she was playing have you guys watched Beef?
I don't think so.
Oh, the yeah TV show.
Yeah, so she was playing Steven Yeun's younger version of mom, but you can't tell because she looks totally different. She's a very young and cute spirit. She just want to explore every possibility. So I was like having a long conversation with her because I feel like my character in this film is a little bit hard to perform in a sense that it's a lot of internal struggle. It's more like a state of mind rather than perform like conflict. So that's a very fun experience with her, and she's so sweet. She brought breakfast every day.
The tip to filmmakers: hire actors that bring breakfast to everybody. It saves on your budget. So I have some other questions, but I want to stay on the acting thing. Mm-hmm. Because but like you said, there's a lot of internal conflict going mm-hmm. on with the character, and obviously the dog is very visual. Mm-hmm. Was there like improv moments between her and the dog that maybe weren't in the script that you ended up using?
You know what's funny? She barely ever act with the dog in the same room. So they never actually act in the same room except a few shots they have to. The reason was that I was having a conversation with my actress. Her name is Flora, and Flora was talking about the concentration moment of her acting. So she loves dogs, so having a dog next to her, she would get distracted. That's probably the reason we separate them, to act like separate part, even though it feels like in the same room.
Well, what's funny about that, I mean, you know, I'd have to go back and watch the film again. I never really, you know, processed whether they were singles or you know, wide shots or anything like that. But yeah. I walked away from the film feeling like they had a real connection. So whatever you did, the way you did it, totally worked. So, you know, independent films, uh-huh. you know, they're often do-it-yourself projects. You know, people wear multiple hats. I'm mm-hmm. curious, you know, how big was your crew and how many different roles did you have to perform to get the film made? Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's tough. I'm telling you.
It was so easy.
Yeah, it is. I just woke up and finished the film right away. Snap. I had a really, really sweet crew. So I have like 6 people. That's pretty much it.
All other film students?
Yes. So we're all classmates. And it was a class project. And what's so sweet about making indie film with your classmates is you get to like each other first, you get to hate each other second, and then you love each other again when everything's finished. So it's like you stay together. It's not like you just work with somebody like you hire. The relationship ends after the movie, but it never ends when you make an indie film. And in terms of how many hats we wear, it's more like, I mean, of course, I'm a director, but I feel like I help with my producer, I help with my DP, and they help me back. So I can't really say I wear all the hats. Everybody wear multiple hats to figure things out, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and also, whether it be you singularly or you as a group, did you have any filmmakers or movies that influenced you when trying to come up with this project and bring it to life?
Oh, yeah. Have you watched Turning Red, the Disney animation film. Mm-hmm. It's about Asian and a Canadian, I think. She got mad when she around like 13, 14, when she have the first period. And that's where inspired me visually of how to describe a female's emotion. And because I feel like it's really hard to see a female character like arc on screen, like in terms of she's not a mom, she's just a young adult female. It's quite rare, so it's a bit challenging for me to find reference for that. And that's part of my reference. It's funny because it's an animation, but it turns out great.
Well, I'm also curious. Yeah. This was a you know, it was very touching. It was a feel-good kind of movie. I'm curious, as you grow your career, are these the kinds of stories you want to tell, or are you interested in other things like horror or thriller or, you know, any genre-heavy projects like that? What are your tastes and what are you striving to create in the future?
I think my taste is always about showing the love, the connection, and always about revealing your vulnerability in the person you love, in front of the person you love. And I won't say I would never do horror if somebody paid me, for sure. I mean, it's a fun project. But so I have a next project lining up. It's about the sense of loss of sense belonging during the COVID period as an immigrant in Hong Kong. And I feel like it's a love story about just a girl. She's just been living there. She has a heavy workload there, but she likes spicy food. So she want to find somebody to share and eat with her. That's part of my next project. And I feel like that's part of the theme I like, is I want to show even you're lonely, you can get connection with others by simple stuff like food, like your cute dog, or maybe you drop something and they pick it up. It's a moment. I love those small, simple moments in life.
That's interesting. And is this a short or a feature?
It's a short. I pray it will be my thesis. So it will be like 15 to 17 minutes short. And it would just describe, because I personally, I'm a mainlander in Hong Kong, and that's where we have a sense of immigration, even though we share the same Chinese culture. And it's very interesting to me how you can feel super lonely in a city where everybody share the same route, and how you can actually get a connection to this space, to this culture, just by simply eating the same food.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious too, because you're saying this is maybe your year one type film, and we have a lot of younger filmmakers mm-hmm. that listen to this podcast. So I'm curious if you've learned anything either from this film or just earlier on in your career that you could maybe give to them mm-hmm. advice, maybe things you've learned along the way.
Oh, so greatest advice I've get from my mentor is make so many mistakes when you can, because I started out making horror films and comedies.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I love them, but as I make more and more films, I kind of find a moment that I really like, and that's where I kind of have a sense, oh, this is the moment I want to develop more in my future work, and that's how I know myself more, and that's why I want to do movie, because you know yourself more. You be honest with yourself, and that's part of the journey, I guess, as a filmmaker, as you proceed.
Well, I'm also curious because, you know, films have to have a structure, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you got a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
And in an emotional film, uh-huh. sometimes it can be, I think, can be harder to find what that structure is. Mm-hmm. But you clearly had it. I mean, the ending mm-hmm. of your film totally works. I mean, mm-hmm. you build up to it, totally works. I'm curious, did mm-hmm. you, I guess this is a two-parter. Mm-hmm. Did you have the ending figured out for this film first before you started writing it? Or did you figure it out during the writing? And then the second question is, what's your writing process? Do you do beat sheets? Do you do treatments? I'm just curious. So let's start with the first one. Do you have the endings figured out first?
No.
I've got nothing figured out. I just start from scratch.
Yeah, so I think filmmaking is all about the process itself. So I don't have the ending figured out first.
So how did you start? Was it just the photography idea? Well, I guess it was the relationship with you wanted to do a movie about.
So I start with, I want a dog in my film. That's okay. The start, first okay. step. And I want a female character in my film. So that's two elements I have. And I find, oh, what's my connection with them? Oh, maybe they can have a fight. That will be fun to watch. And that's the third step. And what if they fight? Then what's after that? What's more fun to watch for audiences? Not for me, like, because my writing teacher always tell me, like, you have to think about your audience perspective. So I feel like it's fun to add some magical element. And then I was like, oh, ending is okay if they get back together. It's cute, but can we just top on it for, like, her payoff a little bit more?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because the ending totally works. It's touching. It resolves the situation. It brings back the whole reason she's setting up this. I don't want to give anything away. So at what point in the script writing process did you figure out the actual end?
I think it's 12th draft, so it's like maybe third month in there. Now I was like, oh, this is a good ending. Let's do that.
That's cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious too. You know, if you have a more, you were telling us before the interview, you used to do sound, you've now done writing, directing. I'm curious, do you have a certain love? What would you like to do post college? What kind of hat would you like to wear? What do you think your overall passion would be?
I think there are two parts of hat you can kind of wear. It's more like, first, what's your creative pursuit? Is what kind of movie do you want to make? Obviously, I want to be a writer director after I graduate to pursue the moment, the connection I want. But also there's another hat of what can you make out of a living from the film industry. And I would say I would do post. I know how to do editing. I know how to do sound. And I'm learning to do color grading. So I'm all open for hire if you want to hire me. So, but that's what I'm planning, because I think as an indie filmmaker, you need to sort of learn everything to make a little, make big out of little you have, I think.
So the film's already picked up some awards, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how was the experience in Austin? You said this was your first time here and you've had barbecue and you've been hanging out. How was the experience at the Austin Film Festival?
I love it. First, I love the airport. No offense to LAX, but here it's just so much better.
A lot smaller.
I tell you what, they've got awesome food in the airport.
Yes. I was talking to another cute girl on the street. Like, she was like, oh, you should have got the Salt Lake in the, not, no commercial here, but like she said, it's very good. When I fly back, I will get that. But I love the weather here. It's humid and hot, which is not ideal for many people, but it's great for me because I love warm weather. And I love the greens here because LA doesn't have any. Yeah. And I just love the culture here. Like, I feel like I bump into people in the elevator so many times and they're not afraid to talking to me. It's like, wow, culture shock here.
Well, good. I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah, I'd love to know too, like kind of wrapping everything up. Yeah. What are you looking forward to in the future? And also, where can people find you on social media if they want to maybe try to see your film or just follow your career as you move forward?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. Funny story, I paid a fortune teller because I had identity crisis of my English name. So I keep that for my Instagram like hashtag name for now. So it's SUSU-Huang, HUANG. So that's my Instagram, SUSU-Huang. I pay him $300, so.
And he made it so simple.
Yeah, yes. That's his point. It's like simple. I was like, thank you, $300.
Well, it's a great film. I hope you continue to have a fun time here in Austin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, best of luck on all the future. Break a leg on your next project. And definitely, you know, keep us on your contact list. If something new comes up that you want to talk about, we'd love to have you back on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Nice meeting you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on and stay tuned for future episodes.